الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب محتمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We'd like to first and foremost express my condolences on these days of mourning and sorrow and grief of our beloved Mawla and Master Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhim. Today was the anniversary of our Imam being striked with the sword. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convey our condolences to our beloved Imam al-Hujjah, the Imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-shayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we ask him to help us, develop us, to become the people that would support the Imam of our time, unlike the people who did not support Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. Inshallah, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we've been trying to cover and discuss over the past few days has been, since we are in the time that we are approaching the night of Qadr, we've already started one of the nights of A'mal that we try to perform the recommendations, the supplications of these nights. And one of the very important things that we've been taught in regards to these nights is that since what's going to happen to us over the course of the following year, everything, whether we go to Hajj or we don't go, whether we get a job or we don't, we're going to lose our job or we don't, we're going to be able to continue studies or not, our life, being able to go for ziyarat, everything is going to be decided upon, the taqdeer of that will be decided upon on this night. So we're told that we want to try to do what? We want to try to ask, request for what's right for us. Okay, dua, supplication, very important. Many of the du'as, many of the a'mal that we have du'a in it. What we usually remember the nights of Qadr for are a few things. One of them is the du'a that we open the Qur'an in front of us and we make a du'a, we make a request. And also the du'a that we put that on the Qur'an on our heads. These are all du'as, they're all supplications. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things. And so since this is such an important time for du'a, we want to make sure our du'as are effective, not the du'as that we spend the entire night up and we ask for things, but unfortunately they're not responded to. The calls are not heard. They're not taken into consideration. We want to make sure they are effective. So in doing so, we said there are a number of elements that we need to take into consideration. First being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Ahlul Bayt tells us, a person who commits sins, God doesn't necessarily hear what they have to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't necessarily promise and make a commitment that if you call on me that I'm going to respond to you. That's something that we want to try to avoid. That's why on these nights again, very importantly we're told, tawbah, tawbah, tawbah. Ask for forgiveness. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us correct our deeds, not just forgiveness. We want to change, we want to become a better person. Being forgiven is just the first step. But then there's another element that we talked about yesterday, and that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا دَعَان, if you ask me for help, I will respond to you. If you ask me to give you something, I will give it to you. But the unfortunate thing is, a lot of times we're not really asking Him. We're not seriously asking God. Why? Because we should consider Him the one that can do things, the one that is responsible for everything, the one that controls everything before we can actually ask Him for it. Otherwise, if we don't see a relationship between what we want and what God can provide for us, His abilities, what He's involved with, then we're not going to be seriously asking Him. We may be saying those words, but they're not serious. They're just words that are being said. So we have to try to develop in us the understanding, the recognition that everything is being controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has control over everything. In that case, if we come to that understanding, whatever we want, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll be seriously asking Him. Okay. Now one point that leads us to, remember the story we had at the end, Imam al-Ridha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companion, the individual, being completely desperate, helpless, no one can help him, no one can provide the money that he needs to be able to pay off his debts, nobody can help him out. Right? We said once he reached that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Imam al-Ridha, helped him. Okay. And the Imam said, that is Ismullah al-A'zam. And then we read that hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, that he said, he was asked about Ismullah al-A'zam, which we think that it's a formula, it's something that we say. Once we say it, it's going to have this miraculous effect, like magic spells, alright? Certain number of letters, we even have hadith that people talk about letters, alright? There is something about letters we do have in a hadith. It says like a certain person, a certain prophet for instance, out of the so many number of letters of this Ismul A'adhan, this person had one or two, or the other person has a number more. And then the Ahlul Bayt have all except for one, for instance, and one of them is Sikh. That's all code language. Alright, the Holy Prophet gives us a clear understanding of this. It's the level and the extent of us being able to understand and to feel that nothing else can be effective, and I mean nothing except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we feel that, if we realize that, if we come to that conclusion, which in theory, conceptually coming to that understanding is kind of simple. There's a lot of philosophical explanations on it. There's rational, I have no doubt that that is the case. I've read the arguments, the proofs, beyond reading in hadith and in the verses of the Holy Quran, there's rational argument that it can't be otherwise. Alright? It's there. You can read it. You can study it. Conceptually understand it. There's a huge difference between conceptually understanding something, alright, and actually feeling it. Actually feeling it with our entire existence, with our soul. And one of the signs of that is that at the right time, when the time is there for it to show, then we display that belief of ours. It's displayed, it shows itself in action. Reminds me of an interesting story of Imam Khomeini, Allah bless his soul. Recite some what, please? This idea of seeing no one having any form of effect except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives you a lot of different things in life. And one of the things it gives you is you become fearless. Okay, completely fearless. Nothing. Except for Allah. A lot of fear for Allah, but fear for nothing else. They say, you know, you've heard of the 8-year war that was imposed. And it wasn't a war that Saddam imposed on the Islamic Republic. It was a war that the entire globe, all of the powers, the so-called superpowers, the East and the West, the United States, the Soviets at that time, The Europeans, everybody supported in different ways, and they all had sanctions against the Islamic Republic. They wouldn't even provide them with barbed wire. They had to go through, according to international law, illegal routes to get that because they were sanctioned. All right. So when that happened, the day that they had the serious attack, the planes came and they started bombing different parts of the Islamic Republic. They called and to inform Imam Khomeini of this. All right, now you're the leader of a country. Just imagine what you're being attacked. Your country is being attacked now, and you're not even sure like what's actually happening. Right, you're getting a call that tells you that Iraqi planes have come and they're bombing your country. Right after a revolution that succeeded and loads of other things that have happened. Right, just imagine the state of mind you would have. They say it was around Dhuhr time, and Imam Khomeini had gotten up to pray. He was getting ready to pray. They brought him the news. So the person who got the call and was coming to Imam Khomeini rushed in there, you know, very, probably very emotional and very anxious to see the response of Imam Khomeini. Doesn't know what's going to happen, very worried. Says, Imam, they've attacked, they started the attack. Imam Khomeini very calmly said, it's a war. Allahu Akbar. War has begun. Allahu Akbar. He said it's Allahu Akbar and he started his prayer. Without any, what's going to happen? What's happening? I don't know. Panic. Allahu Akbar. This is what, and this is not even one of the ma'sumin. This is what we can become. This is what we can become. Very easily. In other words, there's even more than that that we can become if we want. There's a lot of them. This is what we want to reach, okay? But one of the questions that comes about is that if we're talking about reaching a state and we want to see everything else not having an effect, and the only one and the only thing that is effective in the world is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does that work now? Does that mean that he provides sustenance, my employer doesn't really do that, my work doesn't do it, okay? Medication doesn't do it. It's not the medicine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one wrong conclusion is to be lazy and to not make use of the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided. For example, you don't feel like going to the doctor or whatever. No, we have to go to God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that has this effect. Right? So when I get ill, don't go to the doctor. Don't go to the hospital. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure the ill. Right? That's what we do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure. Right? So don't go to the hospital. You don't need to worry about work. I want to go in late today. I have trust in God. They're not going to fire me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of me. Okay. He's the only one with effect. Everything else does not have any effect. Nothing else has any effect. These are all wrong conclusions. All right. There are two wrong conclusions that we can reach. Both of them are wrong. One is, like most of us, when we're trying to say we should try to get away from this, that we see that object, that person themselves having an effect on us. We see the medication itself having an effect on us. We see our work itself, the way Qarun saw, when he was told to provide charity, give charity, give some of that away. God has given it to you, and he's telling you, not all of it's yours. I've given control of it to you, but it's not yours. I want you to give it to the ones that need it. He said, no, I gave this myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, you don't want it? Took away everything, including his life. Alright? Sometimes we think we are effective. Our word has that effect. This is one wrong conclusion. We try to say that this is not correct. We should try to move away from this. Another wrong conclusion is to see and to say, reach this practical conclusion, that I don't use these means. Okay, that's equally wrong. Why is it equally wrong? because we don't see the reality of it. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is effective. The medication is effective, but not because of itself. Right? The way the Ahlul Bayt look at things, they take the same means. They don't go to the battlefield. I mean, you've never heard of a battlefield where he has said, I'm not going to take the sword. I'm just going to ask God, and he's going to take the person's life. All right? God, please just split this guy in half. Okay, he didn't do that. He took the sword. He used the sword. Very effectively. You wouldn't want to be standing in front of that. Okay. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. When he took up the door of Khaybah, alright, he used his hand. That's a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Alright? It's God's creation. It has a certain effect. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he takes it. Okay. With the will of God, the effectiveness of this hand, it should be able to lift how much? Okay, how much would a hand usually be able to lift? Whatever it is, let's say, I don't know, who can lift, do curls for 100, 200, 300, 1,000 pounds, a ton, okay? With the will of God, the effectiveness of this creation of His can multiply. Right? It can multiply. So He uses the means that God has given, but he doesn't see the effectiveness of this in itself. He sees the effectiveness of it coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I was asked this question. We have another story about Amir al-Mu'min salamullah alayhi. This man who lifted the door of Khaybar single-handedly, a door that needed a number of people to move, not to lift, okay, that was preventing the believers from moving forward. When he became the Khalifa, the type of bread that he used to have, okay, you have this nice soft bread that you get, the loaf bread, alright, you put it in the toaster, get it a little crunchy on the sides, and you have your meal, your food. Okay. Remind you of food while you're fasting, inshallah, in a few more minutes. So anyway, you have this nice bread that you can easily rip apart, use, bite into very easily, okay. The type of bread Amir al-Mu'minin salamullah alayhi used to have was not like this at that time. It was made out of barley. Okay. And it was very, very hard. To the extent that he had to use his knee to break it. Alright, you just very easily tear that bread, okay? If it's a little harder, use both hands. It didn't work. He had to put it on his knee and use his knee to break it. You have a stick, it's very hard, you can't break with your hands, you put it on your... That's what you do, okay? So that's what they say he used to do, alright? At one time, the means of the hands is supposed to be strong enough to take out the door of Khaybah, but sometimes it's supposed to have its normal strength. This is the effectiveness that God gives it. And it's not breaking that bread, he has to put it on his knee and break it. Right? He sees the effect coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the event happened, another thing to learn, when the mal'oon striked Amir al-Mu'minin salamullah alayhi, he didn't say, don't bring a physician. They actually brought the most advanced, the most learned doctor of the time to try to diagnose what's happening and what his health circumstances are. Right. He brought that. They brought him, Imam al-Mujtaba. They brought him, they asked. He didn't say, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. He referred to the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put before us. The food we eat, everything. But when they use it, this is the point. They don't see the effectiveness coming from the means itself. It's only a means, it's only an instrument, it's only a tool through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings that benefit to me. Okay. And that's why for everything you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you really see that God did this for me. God brought this blessing to me. The very moment, the effectiveness of that food, alright, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's when we can really, really appreciate everything happening in our life is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a correction that we need to make. Then another question that comes from the discussion that we should, the verse says we should only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So the next question is, what do we do with tawassul? What do we do with tawassul? Now, tawassul has a long history. It's not something that's related to the Shias only either. We should get out of this cocoon of ours, right? We need to understand, tawassul is a Muslim concept. It's an Islamic concept, not limited to the Shia sect. It is a recent development that some Muslims that consider themselves of the Sunni ideology, which not all Sunnis would even agree with that, all right, have come up with the notion that this is shirk, and this is wrong, along with visiting the graves of the Holy Prophet and the great, according to non-Shias, the great companions and the great mystics, the great scholars, the great worshippers, the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet, and according to us, the Imams. This is a recent development that this is shirk and it's wrong and it's haram and you become mushrik if you do that. Even Sunni schools of thought, they don't agree with that. If you go to Egypt, there was a debate between the people who represent this new ideology that this is shirk, that they have different terms that they use referring to them. And you have representatives of others, and the ones who are representing the newly developed ideology are condemning others, Sunnis, that are going to not even the Imam, not even the Holy Prophet according to their ideology, but to people that they considered very, very good people, worshippers, that they can go to and ask for help. They condemn them. So this is a new and newly developed ideology that's not against Shia only. This is against the teachings of Muslims and the teachings of Islam. But we need to have an understanding of this. We need to have a response, an answer for this. When they say, oh, this is shirk. What is our answer? Recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And unfortunately, another thing that we're seeing develop, we have what some people like to call, I don't know if you guys use this term or not, but we have Shia Wahhabis now. That this ideology is starting to develop amongst the Shia. Tawassul is wrong. You shouldn't do dua tawassul. Okay, you shouldn't go and ask for help from the Ahlul Bayt. Alright? This is something that's developing and it's shocking. It's shocking. But again, we can't just stick to, oh, this has been tradition, this has been handed down to us, we're learning, we've gotten this from our fathers, we need to do it. No, that's not a legitimate answer. Okay. The Quran rejects that ideology. If we rely on just the idea of we've been handed, or this has been handed down to us from our forefathers, this is not a legitimate answer. This is what the mushrikeen used to say during the time of the Holy Prophet. So we need to have an answer. What is the answer that we want to provide? Is it correct for us to go and say, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have this need? When you go to that beautiful shrine, the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhi, this is the time of remembering him. If you go to Najaf, inshallah we all have the tawfiq. You see that golden dome? It has a very, very significant impact. The first time especially you see it. There was a writing in Mafatih al-Janan, alright, there's a writing there. It says when you go into Najaf, alright, once you see the dome, the golden dome of Najaf, you just feel out of this world. Okay, you feel that you have a lot of emotions, you like to express yourself, alright. And some people may be looking for some poetry to express themselves, and he says, here you go, here's some poetry that you can use at that point. right? When you enter that haram, although in terms of the actual physical space, it's pretty small, alright? But it's very warm. You go there, you feel at home. So many people have gone there. I've heard this comment from many people, that when you go there, you just feel like talking to the imam. You feel like talking to him about everything, alright? You feel a presence. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq for that and for us to see that presence as well. So when you go there, when I say, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have this need, I have the other need. My parents need this. My brother needs the other. Our family needs this. And so on and so forth. Is this wrong? Recite salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
One thing that we've talked about in the previous question that we asked is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that has any effect. Everything else has zero effect without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That includes everything. You look at the words of the Ahlul Bayt, that's what they say as well. About themselves. The Holy Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, without God's will, nothing, no effectiveness, zero. Only and only through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. Effectiveness is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Alright? A couple of points regarding that though, for people who have this. If we consider me asking Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi for, let's say, a very, very simple example, for a car, alright, for a house, for different things that I need. If we consider that shirk, because we are considering that Amir al-Mu'mineen can provide that for us, then you know what? We are, yeah, that's right in a sense, and I'll explain. Okay, that is right. But if that's the way we're going to look at it, when I ask you for a glass of water, that's shirk. Right. If I ask any of you here, I know I can't drink it, otherwise I would probably ask for one. Give me a glass of water, that would be shirk. If I ask you to make a phone call to someone and tell them something for me, that would be shirk. If I go and even pay a person to give me a car, that would be shirk. All of that is shirk. Yeah, that's right. But it's shirkul khafi. It's not the one that you pull out into your sword and you say, you know, hey, wait a second here, you became mushrik, right? If you didn't come back to Islam, I'm going to kill you. Right? It's not that form of shirk. It's called shirkul khafi. And that's what we've been talking about yesterday, that's what we're saying. The way we look at things, we consider them independently having effectiveness, they have an effect, they can do things to us. That is a form of shirk. It's the people who say we can't ask Amir al-Mu'mineen, they're very comfortable going asking people, and if you look into their ideology, it is that form of shirk al-khafi. Because they think the doctor actually does cure them. The medicine actually does cure them. But the same way that we can go to the doctor, we're supposed to go to the doctor, ask him for medication, take that and swallow that pill, but thinking that this is not the thing that actually affects. It's the pill, but God gives it that effect. The same way, I refer to Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi and I ask him for something, and I know he can give it to me because he can, but independently, no. With the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them. This is, we don't understand who the Ahlul Bayt are. Alright, trust me. We do not know who the Ahlul Bayt are and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says He sends His rain not just because of the Ahlul Bayt, but through the Ahlul Bayt. Any blessing that comes to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the Ahlul Bayt. Right? Everything. Even if you don't ask them for it. This is something that we don't understand. I may be accused of certain things now, of course. I'm kind of careful. And because the Ahlul Bayt were very careful. At times, they would deny certain things. We don't have ilmul ghayb. Yeah, there's hadith that says we don't have ilmul ghayb. Then there's hadith that says we do. Okay. But that was said for some people because they can't get that relationship. They're not strong enough intellectually to understand how they have it and they don't have it. They have it because God gave it to them. They don't have it independently. They have nothing except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given.
Right?
That's what they try to convey. That's what they try to give us. Yes, they are Asma'ullah. We think Asma'ullah are these words that we write. Okay. But Asma'ullah, the manifestations that of the Divine are His true Asma. Okay. That requires its own lecture, and I'll leave it for people that are more knowledgeable to explain that. But yeah, they are the Asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Ahlul Bayt are. So when you're calling upon the Ahlul Bayt, you're calling upon Asma'ullah. Is there anything wrong with that? Can anybody tell you that you can't ask for Ar-Rahman? You can't ask Ar-Rahim? You can't ask Al-Aziz? Right? You can't use those names? Amirul Mu'mineen is a manifestation of all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just Ar-Rahman, not just Ar-Rahim. Okay. Now this is an understanding we need to come to. Okay. So yes, we are going to go to the Ahlul Bayt, we are going to ask them, but we need to correct that in our thought. The Imam gives me through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. Right. Some people say, okay, well, maybe this is not shirk, but isn't it just better to go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just go directly. You don't have to, right? It's not haram, okay, I get that. But is it wrong to go ask God directly? I want to go ask God directly. Well, the answer to that is, yeah, you can, and we should go to both, but there's a reason why you're supposed to go to Amir al-Mu'minin. You're supposed to go to the Holy Prophet. You're supposed to go to Imam al-Mujtaba. You're supposed to go to the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. You're supposed to go to Imam al-Husayn. What is that? That is sometimes what we ask for, we don't have the capacity to take it. We are not worthy of it. God wants to give it to us, but we can't take it. Right? We're not worthy of it. And we need to have someone else that if we go to them, the combination of the two, we're going to be able to receive that. This is why that is also referred to as shafa'ah. The word shafa'ah means having another person, okay, a pair. I'm going and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, but then I pair that with Amir al-Mu'mineen, with Imam al-Mujtaba, with Imam al-Husayn, with Imam al-Hujjah, with the Ahlul Bayt, okay? I wasn't capable of receiving this. I'm not worthy of it. But because of the Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to me. Because then I can receive. Right? It's important, yeah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. It's not either or. It's both. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask Amirul Mu'mineen. But Amirul Mu'mineen as a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that God has given this effect to Amirul Mu'mineen. He has given this power to give these things. Yes, he has. But these, yeah, we're supposed to ask him now. We say the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And one last reminder on this as well, is that it's not only about asking the Ahlul Bayt that we do this. When you want to go and take that pill for the cure, do the same. Take the pill, but ask God for cure. Know that even if He cures me through the pill, it's He who cures me, not the pill. Okay. If I go to the doctor, I do that and I ask God for help. And I know if He gives me the cure, then it's God who gave me that cure, whether it's through the doctor or through other means. Because sometimes it's not through the doctor. Sometimes it's through Imam al-Ridha, sallallahu alayhi. You go there, and you're completely paralyzed, so many people have gone there, and you want that cure, I've gone to the doctors, they've used the normal means, I'm going to the special means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided. God help me, Imam al-Ridha help me, Imam gives him that cure. And sometimes we go through those means. These are all means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. Besides salawat. The next thing in regards to du'as that is very important, I'll just introduce the topic and we'll start discussing it tomorrow, is what we ask for. What we ask for is very important. One of the areas why it's important is the effectiveness of the du'a. Alright, sometimes the du'a is not answered because of what we asked for. Okay. Because of what we have asked for. We need to try to look into this. What do we mean by this? I'll give you a very simple example, then we'll discuss it further tomorrow. Sometimes we have people asking, making du'as, the Ahlul Bayt say, don't make this du'a. God is not going to answer that. He's not going to make it come true. Alright? It's impossible, meaning that God is never going to do that. Example, one thing we find in hadith, and I'll give similar examples that sometimes maybe we ask for, or we expect maybe. In a hadith, a person, a companion came to the Imam and said, I'm making this du'a, can you also make the du'a for me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers in response to it? What is your du'a? I want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please, I am weak, don't test me in this world, because I will fail. The Imam told him, don't make that du'a, don't waste your time. It's not going to come true. God is never going to respond to that call and answer it and not test you. This is the world, He's created this for testing. You're supposed to be examined here. That's the whole purpose. And why you're supposed to be examined here? A long story. But the purpose of our being on this earth is to be examined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us here just to be examined so that we can deserve and we can receive the benefits and the blessings in the hereafter. Alright? So if you ask for that, it's not going to happen. I'm not sure if people ask for this, but some of the expectations that maybe sometimes people ask for. Alright? One of the things that, I don't know if you say it in there's different cultures here, but in all cultures, I'm not sure if this is said. But if someone passes away, one of the things that in some cultures is common to say is that, I hope this is the last grief that you have in your life. Alright, this is the last one. You don't get any more. Well, if that's a du'a, it's never going to come true. Alright, because it could mean one of two things. Alright, it means that until the end of your life, you're not going to see anybody else die. Okay. Or the second one, as the brother guess, is that I hope you die soon, that you don't get any, you don't see anybody else dying. Okay. One of the two. If it's the second one, it may come true. Yeah, but we don't hope for that, usually. But that's not going to happen. He has said He's going to take our loved ones away. That's one of the tests. That's one of the examinations. Sometimes we expect and we pray, God, don't give me illness. He's going to give us illness. This is what the world is all about. Okay. Poverty. Not feeling that. That's one of the things that we're going to be tested with. At times, we're not going to have... We can't ask for these types of things. Alright? There are certain du'as that are not going to be answered. And we're going to learn more about this, inshallah, tomorrow. So it's very important for us to learn what types of du'as to make for them to be answered. Okay. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to, for us to benefit from that, inshaAllah. Sallallahu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'minin. Sallallahu alaykum ya Ahl Bayt وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي وخزان العلم تعالى May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. In your homes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels descend upon you day in and day out. Even angels used to seek permission before they entered your home. Sallallahu alayhi kaya. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Amir al-Mu'mineen, my beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam that was martyred in the Masjid. Sallallahu alayka ya Mawla. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. We wish we were all there in Kufa. To give you the support that the people did not. Amir al-Mu'mineen was left alone many times. In Medina he was left alone. People came to the door to take him for a forced allegiance and bay'ah. And the only one that protected the Imam and was loyal to him was the daughter of the Holy Prophet, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Everyone else abandoned the Imam. In the Kufa these last few months, the Imam has been walking around. People have not been supportive. People have been cursing him in his face. He tells them to do things, but they do not listen. This morning at Fajr time, around Fajr time, the Imam was heard in the Masjid when he called out, "Fuztu Rabbi al-Kaaba." They took Amir al-Mu'mineen home. Let's join the true companions, the ones who loved Amir al-Mu'mineen outside the door of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The children of the Imam are inside the house. They have called for a doctor to come. The doctor came. He saw the wound. He said, "It's difficult. I need to have a particular vein from a newly killed animal." They got the vein and they brought it to the doctor. He put it inside the cut. He took it out. He looked at Imam al-Mujtaba. He said, tell this man, tell Amir al-Mu'mineen to start writing his will. He will not live long. Imagine what that does to the heart of the lady Zainab. Imagine how Imam al-Hussein is feeling. Imagine how Imam al-Mujtaba is feeling. Imagine how Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, younger now, is feeling. Amir al-Mu'mineen is lying in bed. The true companions of the Imam have gathered behind their door in Kufa. The true companions, the Ashab, are there standing, trying to see what's happening. Any news from the Imam? Imam al-Mujtaba comes to the door. He comes out, he prays for them and greets them. May Allah bless you for your support. But I'd like you to leave now. Amir al-Mu'mineen is not feeling well. People moved away. Moments later, the Imam opened the door. He sees one of the companions standing out there. He says, did I not tell you to leave? He looks down and he says, where can I go? Where do I go without Ali? Imam al-Mujtaba sees he's one of the more loyal companions. I hope we are like that for Amir al-Mu'mineen. We feel the same for the Imam of our time. Imam al-Mujtaba takes him in to see his Imam. Imagine that. He's walking, he goes inside. He sees the Imam and he describes him. The warrior of Khaybar is lying in bed. A cloth around his head. Says, I saw him, he was so pale, I could not believe my eyes. Sallallahu alayka ya Mawlani, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. We say, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, after you were striking, the family members came around you for 3 days, over 2 days they had the ability to see you, to speak to you. They were able to bury you. But where were you, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, in Karbala? When they heard the call of the horse, they went there. Some reports say it was not only the lady Zainab. They say the other women and some of the children were there as well. Abdullah ibn al-Hazan is there as well. He goes to protect his uncle. Like the flag bearer of Karbala, loses his arms. But when they are around the Imam, the women and children would like to be standing by the Imam. But the enemy does not allow them to come close. Later on, when the daughter of the Imam, Imam al-Hussein, wants to visit the body of her father, and this is after the battle is over, how can she even find the body of her father? These bodies don't have heads on. the lady Sukaina sat down to have a few moments to speak to her father Imam al-Hasan. The enemy sees them, they come with their weapons, with their lashes, they start beating on her. They did not even allow the Ahlul Bayt to see their father after this. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ.